Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Here at newsounds.org, we still can't have live guests in our studios, so for these Soundcheck podcasts, we're doing a mix of remote performances and some memorable sessions from our archives. This is one of the latter, and for this one, we take you back to 2017. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Does this sound like classical music to you? Well, it was written by a contemporary British composer for a chamber music ensemble from the Bay Area. But that composer, Anna Meredith, is one of a new breed of younger musicians who don't bother with crossing borders, they ignore them. So classical, rock, electronica, minimalism, all part of Anna Meredith's sonic palette. And in addition to a stint as composer-in-residence with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, she's also a songwriter who leads her own unusually constructed band. And they're going to play for us today, beginning with a piece called Nautilus. It's music by Anna Meredith, live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That is called Nautilus, a piece from Anna Meredith and her band, playing live here in the Soundcheck studio. You'll find a version of this on Anna Meredith's full-length debut album, which came out last year, called Varmints. But that performance here in the studio, galumphing along to get us started. Anna, first of all, great to have you here with the band in tow.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
So let me introduce the rest of the band. Anna herself playing keyboards on that piece, Jack Ross on guitar, Sam Wilson behind our drum kit, Tom Kelly on tuba, and Maddie Cutter on cello. Everybody also sings when required.
Yes, I force them to do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. They will be required shortly. And you also play percussion and clarinet. And so a lot of the instruments in this band are the type of instruments you would have written, you know, notated music for. How much of these pieces are actually sort of composed with a capital C?
Yeah, it's a kind of mix. I mean, all the guys here are amazing musicians. They all come from a classical background like me. So everyone reads really well, but they all have brilliant ears as well. So the pieces are formed by me making demos and then working with these guys individually to work up their individual parts. So sometimes it is fully notated music, or sometimes it's just me singing out tune ideas to them and then working out what they need to do.
And how is that different from when you compose a piece for symphony orchestra or for the opera stage, both of which you've done?
I try and see the writing in exactly the same way. So whether I was doing this kind of piece for my band or a piece for orchestra or a piece for kids, I use the same kind of starting point, the same kind of materials and building blocks, no matter what I'm doing. And, you know, I always start with a very graphic sketch, which helps me kind of build out the pacing of the piece. And that's the thing I enjoy doing most in my writing, no matter what kind of material it is.
Do you start with an idea of what the texture would be? Because the thing that strikes me consistently about every track on Varmints is, you know, this kind of playing with sound, you know, a keen ear for different sound textures and colors.
Thanks. I would say, without trying to sound too pretentious, I think I try to like to use texture as a tool to help build a convincing shape. Mm-hmm. So the structure feels to me like the thing I take the most time over to get the pacing right. And so I like to use the textures or the combination of instruments to, I guess, help tell almost like tell a story, to help make a big build, or to change the feel of something from what you thought the pulse was to something else. So I like to use textures to play those kind of tricks.
Right. So when Sam comes in on the drums, two-thirds of the way through the piece, we've gotten sort of used to a certain off-kilter rhythm, and now here comes a completely different but related one.
Exactly, yeah. So that was the whole point of that track, exactly like you say, was to make you think it's in one swingy feel, and then the rug's pulled from under you, and it's actually really straight the whole way through.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, here in New York, some of the most interesting music being made here, and of course there's lots of different scenes, is, you know, musicians who are now in their 20s and 30s and have, you know, maybe they play the cello, and then at the end of their recital, they go around the block, pick up their electric guitar, and play in their band.
Yeah.
There seems to be a similar thing happening in London as well.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a really healthy scene at the moment where people are caring less and less about categorizing or genre or where people fit, or if you do this, you surely can't also play the guitar, or you shouldn't be playing this music here. And people can get a little bit, occasionally a bit freaked out. But one thing we've loved doing these gigs has been the crossover of section of people who've come who said they've never heard a sound like it or an instrumentation like it, but they don't care. And that's great for us.
So, you know, at times this band can present as a species of rock band, I suppose. You know, you have the electric guitar and the drum kit and your rack of electronics and stuff. And there's even videos, you know, there's video for this song you're about to play. And it is a song with words and people singing. And yet I don't think it's too many people's idea of a conventional rock song.
I think it's because I haven't come at it with that intention. I haven't, making this album, ever thought, I'm going to make some instrumental pieces and then some pop songs and then a techno track. And then, you know, I haven't tried to reinforce the genre hasn't been the starting point for me. It's always been these compositional tools or these ideas of shape. So the next song you hear, has vocals in it and lyrics, and maybe in some ways it's more like a pop song. But actually, I think there's lots of crossover between that and a track like Nautilus, which you just heard, in terms of the rhythmic tricks or the kinds of builds and shapes. So I see lots of similarity right across the album.
All right. Well, that off-kilter quality is certainly in this next piece called Taken. Let's hear a live performance. Everybody in Anna Meredith's band singing at some point during, actually all at once during this song called Taken. It's from the album Varmints on Soundcheck.
They said would sweep the land, has failed to touch the cold that lines the sides of these four walls with goodwill trailing, and all our money running out. What seemed a good idea has fast become a frame, waste of time. Sunset staring was meant to be.
Thank you.
That is Anna Meredith and her band live on Soundcheck with a song called Taken, taken from her album Varmints, and played live here with the rest of the band singing along. And Anna, does it make the composing process different when it's a song with words, when there's that additional layer?
It definitely was. That was a first for me, writing lyrics. I suppose I've done opera before and I've set other people's word, writer's words. So I was a bit cautious about it initially, but actually I quite enjoyed it in the end, and I was writing very much with myself and these guys in mind. So I think that helps when you've got particular people and their voices and how we all work together in your head. I think it helps with that kind of, to ease yourself into that process.
Right. And did you choose the lyrics more for their kind of sound than their semantic meaning?
Definitely, there was a bit of both. I think it's quite syllabic here. It's quite, yeah. The words are all very short, and I think that's, I suppose I was almost thinking about the rhythm almost more than anything else. But there's definitely some picture painting going on as well, some kind of moody relationship breakup situations happening.
I don't know if it was intentional or not, but, you know, I keep going back to Nirvana's Lithium.
Right.
You know, with the yeah-yeahs and then the kind of unusual chord sequence in the guitar.
No, sure. I mean, absolutely. That was my thing I wanted to do with that song. So I've always wanted to write a yeah chorus. So that was something I've always wanted to tick off. But yeah, I grew up in the 90s. I'm a Nirvana teenager. So absolutely, I think that must be in there somewhere.
What else did you grow up listening to? I mean, was the music at home as Catholic as the music you write?
There wasn't lots of music necessarily at home. At school, you know, I played played drums in a band, but I also played in wind bands and orchestras, and I sang in choirs. And in a way, that was how I probably learnt most of the music I did, was, you know, playing Shostakovich and Tchaikovsky and, you know, in the symphony orchestra, and then playing wind band music, and then playing, you know, stuff in a band as well. And I went to used to go over to Glasgow. I grew up in Edinburgh, and Glasgow had an amazing live music scene, so I went to a lot of gigs as a teenager. So I think that was a, you know, really useful thing, especially when thinking about then writing for myself, to not maybe even straight away to be, you know, reflecting on all that spread of influences.
Yeah. What about the album title, Varmints? Mm. That seems like a very kind of American cartoon word, is that?
Does it? Right, okay.
It's like something from Bugs Bunny. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, for me, I thought it was Old English. Maybe it's American too. I didn't know. It was, it's always been in the back of my head as a word I've always known, meaning pests.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, but it's amazing the amount of people in the UK have never heard the word and go, you know, varmints or varmint. You know, they don't know what it is. But yeah, for me, it was the idea of, you know, making this album, unlike all the commission work I do, my pieces for, you know, whatever commissions I've got, this is something that nobody's asked for. I think the idea was that these were musical pests, that these were ideas that I haven't been able to shake, and that are, you know, things that infiltrate lots of the ways that I write. So these are my kind of collection of musical bugs.
Wow. Nice. All right. I still hear the voice of Yosemite Sam in my mind's ear, though, whenever I hear that word, varmint! I love this piece that you're going to do next called R-Type, which this you're on clarinet in this.
Yes.
One. So was that one of your first instruments?
Yeah, clarinet was my main instrument right through my teens. And then I didn't play it much through university. And I think, again, maybe part of my wanting to make this band was I missed the performing. You know, as a composer, so much of the time you finish a piece and you hand it over to a conductor and orchestra, and that's the end of your involvement in the performance. And that's what's been a lovely thing about this, is getting to play again. And, you know, as I say, with these guys who are so much better than me.
You want to play it?
Sure. Cool.
All right. We're speaking with Anna Meredith. She's going to pick up the clarinet for this next piece. Jack Ross still on guitar. Sam Wilson behind our drum kit. Tom Kelly on tuba. Maddie Cutter playing the cello. And here is a piece called R-Type. It's music from Anna Meredith. Let's hear another live piece. Thank you. that's just showing off, that is. That is Anna Meredith and her band with a live performance of R-Type here in the Soundcheck studio, and some nifty playing by all involved in the course of that piece. Anna had to play clarinet, percussion, trigger the laptop. How much influence do you draw from the American so-called minimalists, Philip Glass, Steve Reich? Because I hear the interlocking rhythms of Steve Reich in that piece, for sure.
Yeah, sure. I mean, very much when I was training, you know, obviously I've known about all the minimalists and then the post-minimalists, you know, the Bang & McCann guys.
Right.
And I love the Dutch sound as well, Andreessen, and that kind of sound, you know, starting to bring in guitars and saxophones. So, yeah, I really love that music. People quite often say my music's like Philip Glass, and I don't actually see, I mean, I love Philip Glass, but the direction is so important to me that I don't, apart from the fact that there's rhythms and there's repetition that's played with, I don't see that quite so much myself.
Yeah, there's that, an early work of yours called Orlok,
mm-hmm.
which to me sounds like a fever dream version of Philip Glass. But
yeah.
but definitely the rhythmic interplay of Reich seems, sounds like that could be the R in R-Type. I don't know what R stands
R-Type's
for.
R-Type's a computer game.
Okay.
It's a sort of a computer game for the 90s.
Yeah. Speaking of things that start with R, you've done a fair amount of radio in your day, haven't you?
Yeah, I do, you know, quite a lot of guesting and chatting and rambling at people in various classical and non-classical stuff in the UK. That's, I think, the really encouraging thing is I'm, you know, increasingly seeing that I'm doing radio on the classical stations and on the pop alternative stations, and I'm playing very similar music when I'm presenting in both of those stations. And I think it's really encouraging to see that, you know, people are up for you putting a bit of Tchaikovsky next to a bit of, you know, electronics or a bit of pop song or whatever. And it's just people are interested in what's musically interesting about this stuff rather than, you know, where it comes from.
And you've got an interesting project going on right now called Anno, which is based on Vivaldi on the Four Seasons.
Yeah, that's right. I've just been recently writing a big hour-long piece where I've taken Vivaldi's Four Seasons and mixed it in with my own music for string orchestra and harpsichord, so the same instrumentation as the Vivaldi, but all with electronics. And it's all done in this incredible surround environment where the surround sound with electronics, but also my sister has made these, who's a visual artist, Ellie Meredith, has made this amazing surround visuals. So it's a really interesting project to be part of.
Yeah, and folks can see a little documentary. It's right there on your homepage.
Absolutely. It's a little behind the scenes as to how the whole thing went.
Yeah. Well, it's been great getting behind the scenes and seeing how this band works here in the studio today. Anna Meredith, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
You've been listening to an episode of the Soundcheck podcast from our archives. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can see and hear much more on our website. Check it out at newsounds.org.